Welcome to the Improvised Wikipedia Podcast. I'm here with my friend Glenn Tickle.
I'm here with my friend John Lunger.
And as always, we are rewriting the entirety of Wikipedia off the top of our damn heads, one page at a time, and easy and convenient to listen to podcast form. Glenn, we're all tied up!
Yes.
Last week,
We killed Rasputin.
Again. We killed him dead.
Did we deserve
again.
The win?
Nah,
I don't care. I don't care
matter.
If we did.
Yeah. It's okay, but I do. I can confirm that does tie up the score.
Yeah,
18 wins apiece.
Tied it up like Rasputin before he got thrown in a river.
Where was that heat last week?
I was too focused on all the times Rasputin did sex.
Yeah, it's a weird thing to fixate on, but here we are.
That
I'm not gonna try and change you. Just not
Rasputin.
I might try to change you after that. What are you doing?
Get it?
How are you a professional comedian?
I know, right? It's amazing that this is my job.
Yeah. So we threw it out there to our avid duty cyclers, fans of the Improvised Wikipedia Podcast. If you're not following us on Facebook, hop on that page, give it a like. That's how we get our topics to rewrite from you all. Thus, completing the promise that this is all improvised, but if you've listened at all, you would never accuse us of preparing anything.
Yeah, no, I didn't think of that great Rasputin joke ahead of time. Sad if I did.
Yeah, it would be very sad. Duty Cyclers came through, my friend. We've got an ample number of suggestions, a minimal amount of bits that are unusable. There are a couple human beings, and our no actual human being rule will take into effect.
We forgot about that one last week when we were doing Rasputin.
It's true. It is true. But, I mean, there are some, like, actors who are currently alive on this list that people have suggesting that it's just not. You can't. I feel like it's one thing if they're dead. Because
like Rasputin's a historical figure who lived a long time ago and everybody hated him and thought he was stinky even though he fucked a lot.
Right.
So like...
But like friend of the show, Whitney Pernick, wants us to do Benedict Cumberbatch.
No.
I love Benedict Cumberbatch. It's just, it's a work in progress, you know? Call us when he's dead.
Right. What do you want to hear? He played Sherlock. He's bad at an American accent.
He's Doctor Strange.
He plays Doctor Strange, which is how we all found out he was bad at an American accent. The Between Two Fern movies did jokes about his name in this, the year of our Lord 2019.
Yeah. I wanted to love that movie.
I did. I was so hyped. And they got me from the beginning with the water gags. I was like, this is going to be great.
And you know what? On the record, Lauren Lapkus is a national treasure.
Yeah. Big fan.
She's amazing. It was just fine. It was fine.
Yeah. That was my takeaway from the movie as well. I'm like, well, this is fine. Between Two Ferns is consistently one of the funniest things. I love it whenever they drop new episodes. Always delightful. But, yeah, I don't know.
And yeah, I think that lines up with a lot of people saying the best part is the outtakes during the credits because it was more kind of on brand for what you expect from
Yeah, I just don't know that we need the Muppet movie structure but in the world of
I wasn't tuning in for narrative storytelling. I just wanted longer Between Two Ferns's. Ferns.
It was fine.
No, because it's Between Two Ferns, plural.
Yeah. So Ferns is plural.
Yeah. Okay.
You gonna be all right?
It's debatable. Well, we threw it out. We threw out.
Threw it in the garbage.
Threw it out. No, I'm talking about our suggestions. Oh. We asked for, hey, what's something that you want to know more about that likely has a Wikipedia page about it? I thought by using the phrase something, people wouldn't use actual people.
Not Benedict Cumberbatch, Whitney.
Whitney, you're the best. And hey, I love you, Benny Batch, but.
Let's do one on Whitney.
Oh, wow. That just feels unnecessarily aggressive. She's a friend.
She is our friend.
Yeah. Hard stop. Yeah. Fan of the Improvised Wikipedia Podcast.
I don't know that. I don't know that much about the early years of Whitney Pernick. I don't think I could write like a prequel tale to when.
Well, why don't we get a real suggestion then?
Let's.
All right. So I'm going to need from you a number between 1 and 20.
8.
You said 8?
8.
All right. I got to do a little scrolly scroll. See, technically speaking, I don't think this one applies. We just kind of covered this. This is an actual person. However, there is... I'm going to offer it to you.
Let's hear it.
If you don't want to do it because of what we just explained, we can move on to the next one, which is
very, it Whitney?
Which it's not Whitney. So friend of the show, Woody Battaglia.
Yeah. Battaglia. No, Battaglia. You don't pronounce that G.
Okay. Sorry, Woody. I've never met you. I know of you through Glenn. Sorry to mispronounce your name. He suggested Salvador Dali.
Okay. Right?
So this is a similar thing. Historical figure, dead. We could probably do it, but it spits in the face of our no actual people. Now, I am comfortable going to the very next suggestion as I relayed, because it would also be a very fun and attainable show.
Let's think about Dali. I mean, admittedly, I don't know a ton about the dude.
Neither do I.
Was a painter, silly mustache, mm-hmm. made that creepy movie with the slicing up eyeballs.
Right.
So
I feel like if you have to stop right now. Don't stop. Because if you go any further, we have to do it.
Does Salvador Dali fuck?
I don't care.
For sure.
Hold on.
But I think it does. I think it'll put us in Vincent Price territory. We don't know a lot about a guy that I think a lot of people
do
know more about and like kind of fans of. Like,
let's invoke the Vincent Price.
So I think that's the problem. Like, after we did Vincent Price, we realized it's probably not a good idea to do real people because, like, I don't know, they probably, you know, like family members and stuff aside.
Yeah, we don't,
like,
need letters from the estate of Salvador Dali.
Right. There's just like straight up fan. Like, my friend Danielle has a tattoo of his mustache. Mm-hmm. Like, there's people who really like Salvador Dali.
Sure.
So I think by doing a real person and doing like a bad job, it's not that I don't want to like upset those people, but like, because it's a real person, I think they deserve better than two dinguses who don't know anything.
I mean, hey, let's call a spade a spade. You know, we did the Vincent Price episode. We have the Vincent Price rule as a result of it. And I think, you know, largely
I like calling
speaking,
it the Vincent Price rule.
It just wasn't fun.
Right.
For anybody.
That's the thing. It was not. The Vincent Price one wasn't that fun for that reason. So I think we're going to take a pass on Salvador Dali, even though I know something about him.
Right.
Like, I took art classes.
Sure.
About the persistence of memory.
I would posit surrealism would be the way to make that
suggestion.
See, that's
a thing.
That would be a thing.
That would
right.
be the suggestion.
But
that's
not
do.
What we got. So let's move on to the next one.
He did one time say
Why
that he...
Why don't you listen to me?
He did one time say that he doesn't understand money or how to pay a check at a restaurant. And I'm like, well, you're just being... That is such a weird affectation. Been like, oh, I don't understand. You do. You're an adult man in the world.
You good?
Yeah, I'm done.
All right. Friend of the show.
Friend of
Big
the show.
Big fan of the show.
Big fan.
Yeah. Kathleen Aldridge.
Big fan of Kathleen. She loves it.
She loves it.
I see a lot of comments and suggestions from our friend Kathleen.
Everybody be more like Kat.
Always throwing out great soggy jests.
Including this one. Smurfs.
Ooh.
Yeah,
see?
You just lit up a little bit there.
See, this is what I'm talking about. This is that good shit.
Yeah.
This is a great topic.
This is going to be a Smurfing good episode.
One, I don't know a ton about, like, the history of Smurfs.
Oh, not at
all. But I watched a bunch of Smurfs as a kid.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Had a surprising number of Smurf figures.
I had Smurf bed sheets as a kid.
Oh, Smurf, yeah.
And the thing about Smurfs is Smurfs smurf.
So Smurfs be smurfing.
Oh, they be smurfing hard.
They smurf.
And we're not even going to go into that whole hacky gender joke, but they be smurfing.
They be smurfing.
So, obviously a cartoon.
I think the figures predate the cartoons.
Really?
I think...
Now, when you say figures, you're talking plastic, you're talking ceramic. What are you talking
about? They were like a vinyl.
Okay. Like a toy of
like
the 1960s?
Like a toy.
Uh-huh.
I think the first iteration of Smurfs was not even a toy. Like, my dad had, my dad used to be a police officer. He had like a police officer Smurf. He had like some other ones.
They're almost like troll dolls.
Sort of. Or like, I think it was a thing where you would go to the mall and there would be like little wire statue figures of like different jobs.
What?
I don't know a better way to describe it. It was like,
well, maybe just move on then.
Yeah,
because it's not good.
But I don't think the cartoons were the first.
You really don't.
I don't think I for real don't think Smurfs started with cartoons. I think
there were comics. I know there were comics.
Yes.
Do you think that that is some early work potentially?
Earlier than the cartoon for sure.
Yeah.
Like there might have been like cartoons in like the definition of cartoon that is just like a single panel comic,
right?
Where not like Saturday morning cartoons, just like
yeah, I'm talking
for something to be a comic, it needs to have multi panels. It's just that's because that's what Scott McCloud fucking said. So that's the way anything a single panel like Far Side, that's a cartoon, not a comic.
Who's Scott McCloud?
Oh, he wrote Understanding Comics.
Oh, yeah, that book that I've never read.
Understanding Comics is very good. The follow-up, not as good.
What's the follow-up? Making Love to Comics?
I forget. I have them both. I think it got more pushback than it deserved. I think like a lot of people are like, oh, the second one's terrible. It's fine. It's just, I feel like he got everything he needed to say done in the
it's
first
like
one.
It's like the Guillermo del Toro Hellboy movies. First one's great. Second one, it doesn't get that much love. It's fine. It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Scott McCloud, you do great work. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, he loves our show too, by the way. I cannot tell you how many times I get messages from Scott McCloud.
I'm not going to act like that would genuinely thrill me.
I didn't put two and two together. I was like, I know that name. Why do I know that name? It's because he's constantly stalking us on the Improvised Wikipedia Facebook page.
Big fan, Scott. You do great stuff.
Yeah, give us a call. Give us a call. We'd love to have you as a guest on the podcast. We're talking about having more guests. We did it twice. It was a lot of fun, and then we got lazy. But we're thinking about bringing it back.
Yeah.
What do you duty cyclists think about that? Drop us some hot, suggy jests and opinions on that Facebook page.
You know, it would probably be a good guess.
Hmm.
Kathleen Aldridge.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt, no doubt, no doubt.
Talking about Smurfs.
Yeah.
So Smurfs, I do think...
Yeah, what's the first appearance of a Smurf?
See, I feel like it can't be those. You can't just start making figures and expect them to sell.
Well, I mean, He-Man started as a toy, and then they had a cartoon, right?
Like, He-Man started
as a toy
at the same time.
Yeah, but
they're like, we need to launch a brand
around this toy.
So
theoretically, you could launch a brand around little figurines, I guess.
No, but I'm saying like the toy and cartoon were developed concurrently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
They're like, we need to sell plastic garbage to children.
Uh-huh.
Here's how we're going to do it.
Right. And in hindsight,
we have a big
they
shirtless,
worked a lot harder than they needed to.
We have a big shirtless boy.
Mm-hmm.
We have a skeleton man.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to fight. So start drawing. And then like they would come up with new characters for the show so that they could sell like a Moss Man toy.
Right, right, right. Like, side note, just complete unrelated to Smurfs, but I just want to plug James Adomian's gay villains routine is amazing, and Skeletor just made me think of that.
That's pretty good. There's a good, I think there was an episode of Good One.
There was, yeah.
About
it's
that
very
specifically.
Good. Very good, so check that out. But back to Smurfs, so what do you think, what's the first appearance of a Smurf? Like what?
It's got to be like some Scandinavian artist just doing cartoons, because they do kind of look like Asterix and Obelix.
Yeah.
So I want to say like a Belgian artist.
You're going to go with Belgium?
Yeah. Isn't that where Asterix is from?
I don't know.
I think so.
The only reason I knew of those characters is growing up, I collected Pez dispensers.
Sure.
Before it got out
I
of control.
I did that too.
I have quite a collection in my parents' basement that at some point I will need to catalog and sell.
I think my parents probably threw mine away.
Yeah, I have. It's a noteworthy collection. I real geeked out on it. But before it exploded, before they like just made every fucking character ever, Asterix and Obelix were two of them. They actually like they didn't have a deep catalog of characters for a very long time, right?
No,
and they were two that would like they were older ones, and I'm like, well, I don't even know what the fuck these things are.
You're not out there reading Belgian adventure comics.
I was not at that time. Now that sounds like a perfect Saturday.
Yeah, well, because you think like the later Smurf cartoons where there were people.
Hey, do you want to have like a picnic style lunch next Saturday and like eat grapes and just read Belgian
just hang out and read
comics?
I have somewhere I have an Asterix comic in French.
Do you want to do it?
I'll see if I can find it. I'll bring it over.
My God, cute little date. It'll be so nice. It'll be so nice.
I'll do a bad job translating the French.
Oh, so good. I love that.
Sorry, Madame Zanetti. I'm not
kidding. So we're going to go Scandinavian artists started drawing cartoons. So you're talking like single panel pieces of art, not necessarily
maybe
comics.
A comic. And then the figures, and then they got popular in the United States, and then they did a cartoon.
So it's like...
I think in that order.
It's like a character, like a... These characters were created by this artist who made art with them, almost like a Seussian type thing of like, hey, I've got this style, I'm doing this thing.
I think originally it was more about style than character.
Okay.
Right? And then...
That makes sense, yeah.
And then when they kind of took out... Then the comics, then you start like... giving them character like traits and like pretty basic ones. Like there's Papa Smurf, Brainy Smurf, there's Smurfette who came later, but I believe she was created by Gargamel to infiltrate Smurf Village.
Shut the fuck up, really?
I think so.
I'm not up on my Smurf canon, and that is hella crazy.
Yeah, I think that's Gargamel's plan. He's like, I'm gonna send in a lady Smurf to take over.
Okay, before we get into plot though, because like we're trying to nail that intro paragraph, I think we're good. You know, created by a Belgian artist in the is it post World War II?
Yeah, I think so.
So you want to say 50s?
I would say 50s.
Yeah, in the 50s,
gained popularity maybe a little bit later. 60s
feels like
maybe?
Yeah, 60s feels like when America 60s, would pick
because it's
kind
of like. Let's all live together in a mushroom village and be friends.
Right.
So that has more of a 60s feel to me.
Yeah, like a summer of 69, Glenn.
Nice. So I'm going to say it's
how
in
many
the
consecutive shows have we giggled about the number not of 69? Enough. I would argue too many, but whatever.
Consecutive, I think just two. I don't remember it coming up in the Superman episode.
I don't remember much of the Superman episode because I will take the Smurfs over Superman any day of the week.
Well, so, yeah, I'll say 1960s, the Smurfs originate.
And cartoon is 70s, you think? Like late 70s?
Yeah.
The animated TV show.
Yeah. And then there were like other iterations. I feel like maybe, I mean,
it
the animation.
Been 80s, actually.
I think the cartoon might have been 80s because the animation was pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't, like.
It's not Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles level, and it's not even like DuckTales level, so it's not 90s. It's not late 80s. I would
but
say
it's better
early
than like
80s.
Funimation.
Yeah.
And it's not like the,
and it's
the
like
60s
a,
Spider-Man.
And it's like a step better than some of the Hanna-Barbera stuff, maybe? Like, technically speaking?
I think Hanna-Barbera did the cartoon.
You think?
Did they not?
I don't know. It's our job, it's our job to decide.
Which is
the
underwater knockoff
Smurfs. Yeah. I think the reason they did Snorks is because they didn't do the Smurfs.
Because they didn't do this, and they needed to get it on that Smurf action.
Yeah.
They're like, let's get some of those underwater boys.
I remember having I preferred the Snorks.
Of course you did.
We used to go to my parents' house in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. My grandparents' house in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, and they had the one TV in their little den. And I just always remember Hanna-Barbera basically being the only thing that I could ever watch there. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't have cable. I don't know. But I used to snork with the Snorks there.
I'm almost positive Snorks are Hanna-Barbera, and I think maybe the Smurfs were too. I don't think Hanna-Barbera came up with them. I think it was like a licensing.
Licensed to create the actual cartoons. Because how many...
But I think
there wasn't a ton of animation houses out there.
Right. There was Funimation, but then like that had a very distinct, very honestly bad style. Like it was very cheap animation. It was like Scooby-Doo like was Hanna-Barbera, but that was one of the earlier ones. So there's like... like the animation in Scooby-Doo got better over time, but there, like, if you watch some early Scooby-Doo, there's some.
Well, I mean, in terms of nailing down facts, I feel like we're doing a good job. Let's call it Hanna-Barbera produced it.
Sure,
let's call it that. We have the Belgian origin.
Oh, wait, I'm trying to remember now. Were there any Smurfs involved in Wacky Races?
There were not.
Were there Snorks?
There were
not. I don't think so. I don't think Snorks were. Okay, I was gonna say, can we rule out Hanna-Barbera.
Well, no, because I think of I think you nailed it. I think it's a licensing issue, right? Like the Wacky Racers and that kind of world was their own
was
proprietary
all
characters.
Yeah, because Hanna-Barbera was Flintstones, but Fred and Barney aren't
right.
aren't competing in the Wacky
Correct.
Races. Because they would lose because they're just running. It's
right.
foot power card. They would have no chance against Snidely Whiplash.
None whatsoever. And what do the Smurfs bring into the table, right? The best thing they have
they're
going
little.
For them is they're lightweight, right? So, like, what's the... I don't remember there being a high aptitude of mechanical engineering in any of Smurf Village, right?
Well, there's Brainy Smurf.
Yeah, but that's it.
There's the one who builds things. I feel like...
I mean, I just don't...
Between Brainy Smurf and Architecture Smurf, or whatever his name is, they could probably put, like... Smurf. A boxcar racer together.
Yeah, but that's not going to compete at the level that we're talking about Wacky Racers.
No. Like, Snagglepuss
I mean,
is just going to run you over.
Like, the Dozers in Fraggle Rock would have Doozers, a better chance.
Doozers,
whatever. They would have a better chance.
Yeah, I mean, they're famously mechanical.
I like that you say famously now.
I didn't want to bring it up, but I said famously on this podcast first before you did. So how dare you?
That feels like...
I put out our first episode as one of the classic episodes. Mm-hmm. And you know who says something happens famously in that one?
Yeah.
I do. You son of a bitch.
Do we have unresolved conflict that I was unaware of?
No, one time you yelled at me for saying famously because it was your thing.
Yeah.
You definitely say it more.
Yeah.
I said it on the podcast before you did.
Oh,
and I
great.
Got the receipts, motherfucker. Mm. Yeah, Smurf you. So the Smurfs.
So I think we've nailed down the non-canon side of this. Let's talk about storyline, plot, canon,
sure.
if you will.
Yeah, because the history stuff, honestly, I don't know a lot about it. I'm pretty sure it came out of like weird Belgian art.
And I think we're close. You know what I mean? Like everything that we said, like there are times where we're pulling it out of our ass.
Yeah.
I actually feel like all of it's very plausible.
Right. Like I think I'm right, but all the details are vague. Like
yeah.
I don't know that I have more to add about
but
early
like,
Smurf.
What
history.
Is Wikipedia if not? Yeah, this is probably right,
sure.
but the details are a little vague, right?
So like, the cartoon rolls along, right?
Mm-hmm.
Set in Smurf Village.
Right.
Leader of the Smurfs is Papa Smurf.
Yep.
Presumably so called because they're all his children. But that's not really established.
Thank God.
So all the Smurfs have one defining characteristic.
Right, sort of Seven Dwarfs style.
Right.
In approach.
They live in Smurf Village and their houses are mushrooms.
Mm-hmm. Mushrooms that look just absolutely delectable.
They need Smurf berries.
Mm-hmm.
For food? Probably.
Possibly could be a kind of fossil fuel type situation too. We don't know.
Or drugs.
Definitely.
They live in big mushrooms. It was the 60s. Drugs.
Why would they need Smurf berries if they already lived in said mushrooms?
To get fucked up.
But the mushroom... Well, I mean, yeah, I guess not all mushrooms are...
Well, because then their nemesis, of course, Gargamel.
Right.
Always trying to catch them Smurfs.
Gargamel is a human.
He's a human wizard.
Got a little bit of a Grigori Rasputin vibe to him.
A little bit of a Rasputin. He's
if
got
we
a
went into that page of like characters based off of this, I bet Gargamel's got a shot.
He's got kind of like a monkey robe on.
Mm-hmm.
He's in there doing weird experiments with his cat.
Gargamel fucks.
Is his cat's name Azrael?
It very well maybe, actually.
Something like that.
I actually think you're onto something there, pal.
Well, I know the bad Batman was Azrael.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So that might be, it might be something close to Azrael, but
I actually think it's Azrael. That's like that's
it might
be. That's ringing a lot of
so his cat's Azrael,
a lot of bells.
And then his cat took over the mantle of Batman when Bruce Wayne broke his back.
Hey, can we? I honestly don't remember, and I feel like you might know, like
the Nightfall timeline. I know
no,
a lot
I don't
about
give a shit about the Nightfall timeline. Stop. What was the obsession with the Smurfs? Like, why did Gargamel not have other human friends? And he was just after these, like, is it like a Peter Rabbit type situation and they're fucking up his backyard?
No. I don't remember if he needed Smurfs specifically. I don't think it's like a trolls thing, right? So the Bergens try to capture trolls to eat them because it's the only way they can feel happiness. I don't think he necessarily wanted to.
It's amazing.
I don't think he necessarily wanted to eat the Smurfs. I think he might have been after Smurfberries. I might be misremembering, but I think he's capturing Smurfs to try to get at Smurfberries.
Like,
but that might be Gummy Bears.
This show is
because there's a wizard trying to get the Gummy Bears right. to get the secret of Gummy Berry Juice.
Right, which makes you bouncy.
Makes you very bouncy.
I don't know. I feel like the Smurfs is a very specific lens of, like, yes, we've vilified Gargamel, but we haven't explored what he wants those Smurf berries for. Like, what if it is, like, literally he's developing a cure for cancer and he thinks the medicinal property, like, we don't know.
Maybe.
I mean, we're all heroes and villains, depending on how you tell the story.
I think in the later Smurf cartoon where there's, like, more human characters than just Gargamel. I think originally it's just Gargamel's going to get them. Yeah. He captures one of them, and then the others come up with a plan to set them free week after week. But then later there were, like, kids that were friends with the Smurfs. They lived in, like, a medieval village. They had to go to a castle sometimes.
I do remember that.
Gargamel's still around at that point. I think he's, like, an alchemist. So I think he might be trying to get Smurf berries because he thinks he can turn lead into gold.
Yeah, or live forever.
Or live forever. Two famous goals of alchemists. Do we talk about, I think it came up before on the show, but how much of alchemy involves piss?
We did, yeah. Oh, it's so great.
So much.
Oh, so much. It's just so, like, I don't know, piss on it.
This is yellow, right? This will turn things gold. Just let me boil my pee until I discover phosphorus.
You're making me consider the fact that our orange president might just be an alchemist, and that's why we don't understand him.
That might be it.
He likes that pee so much. God, he would have fucked with Rasputin.
Oh, boy. Oh, they would have gotten along famously.
God, if Rasputin was alive today. Oof.
So I think Gargamel might be after Smurfberries. Or the Smurf, he might think the Smurfs themselves have some kind of magic power he can extract.
Because I don't remember the Smurfs ever, like, stealing anything from him, right?
No.
Like, there's no...
They get caught sometimes, and they have to, like, rescue each other.
Yeah. Weekly. For sure.
But I think he's trying to find Smurf Village.
He's definitely trying to find Smurf Village, but, like, I don't know that ultimate piece of motivation for him.
I want to say it's to get Smurf berries.
I hope it's not a kink.
Yeah, I don't think it's sex. I don't think it's a sex thing.
I hope not. Maybe it's he's trying to get high. Maybe they're like those frogs that you lick.
Oh, yeah, he's trying to lick a Smurf.
Everybody's trying to Smurf a Smurf. Speaking of Smurf and Smurfs, obviously they use the word Smurf as every part of speech. That's
correct.
Part of their nuance. Nuance isn't the right word, but that's okay.
There were two movies now?
At least. MPH played Gargamel, right? Neil Patrick Harris?
Did he play Gargamel or was he just a guy?
I thought he was Gargamel.
No.
What's this guy? The guy that does all the voices from The Simpsons.
Hank Azaria.
Thank you.
So I didn't see either of these movies. They did the bad thing when you're, like, adapting a movie.
Mm.
So it's a very common thing to be like, well, how do we tell this weird story? Oh, I know. We'll just have those characters go to New York City.
Oh, right. They did the fish out of water thing as opposed to.
And then the second one, I think, is in Smurf Village.
That's better.
And I say the bad thing just because, like, it usually doesn't...
Well, it's hack.
It doesn't make for a good movie.
It's lazy.
I'm trying to think of examples besides... Now the Smurfs is all I can think about of other times movies have done that. And
well,
did it? Like,
well, I mean, one time it worked wasn't... what was the one where the... Where the classic princess, Disney princess, comes to, like, New York.
Yeah, but that wasn't...
Not the same thing, but that's related and
that
kind of works.
That style, yeah. But that was, I believe, an original. It was a Disney movie, but it was an original character for that.
Yeah,
that's
pretty good.
Because that was more of a, what if we took a general idea of a Disney princess
right,
and put her in New York?
Hmm.
Like the Sonic movie.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So Sonic the Hedgehog.
I really wish they would have released it. I wanted to see it.
Has a bunch of backstory, right? Like, there's a lot of story involved in those games.
So many crazy. Listen to our Dr. Robotnik episode.
You don't necessarily get from playing, but there's comics. There's a lot of story behind Sonic.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of using any of it, they're like, I don't know, what if he teams up with, like, a small town detective? That looks bad. Like, and then the design wasn't great either. But they're like, oh, we'll fix the design and then our movie will still be good. No, it won't. It's going to be stupid.
I want to see
everything about
it
looks bad.
And that's why I want it. I wanted to hate watch that movie so bad. So bad. Smurfs.
So that's the Smurfs movie did that. They're like, what if we just put the Smurfs in Manhattan and they were friends with Neil Patrick Harris? Then I don't take my kid to see that movie. That's what happens. I sit that one out. But then I think there was a second one where they go to
Smurf
Village.
There's not really much more to it, right? You can't do an impopular culture page for this because, like, they are popular
They are moderately popular.
Everywhere that they are is considered pop culture.
Also, probably about 15 years too late on doing a Smurf movie.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Smurf Pez dispensers. I mean, like, they're just, you know, they had the merchandising, their lunch boxes, all that crap. But I don't know that there was anything more to it.
No, there's the cartoons and then nothing for a while and then Neil Patrick Harris.
Well, let's take a break. Let's do our commercial break and just dive back into the page.
Yeah,
I don't know that there's much more to it. Hey, friends. John from the Improvised Wikipedia podcast here with my friend, Glenn Tickle. Glenn.
I'm here this time, not like the many times you've tried to do this in my absence.
I don't think anybody thinks this is a fun bit except for you.
You're always trying to cut me out of ad reads.
I'm literally, we use your recording equipment. We've been over this. I'm incapable of doing it without you.
Well, that's why the ones where you do them without me haven't been released, because you just do them alone.
Just read the copy, Glenn.
With no recording.
Just read the copy.
Yeah, you need me here for ad reads.
Just read the copy.
Hey, listeners, do you like recording ad reads without your co-host?
Stop it. No.
That's what
it
says.
No, we're not doing this. Read the actual. That's notebook paper that you wrote on.
Do you
read the actual
ad reads without your friends?
Give me that.
But your friend is the one who owns all the recording equipment.
Stop it. Stop it.
Your own recording equipment. This week's Improvised Wikipedia brought to you by recording equipment. Use code JohnSucks at checkout for 85% off all recording equipment.
You done? Is this making you feel like a big strong boy?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's an actual ad in front of you. You want to give that one a read? We have obligations to our sponsors. Somebody paid for this spot, and you've wasted 30 seconds.
No
of
way.
Time.
This is gonna be regarded through time as a classic ad.
Okay. Yeah, it's gonna be the Coca-Cola polar bears of podcast ads.
Yeah.
All right.
Because what do polar bears have to do with Coca-Cola? Nothing.
Right.
What does me insisting you trying to cut me out of ad reads have to do with cauliflower? Nothing. But that's what we're here to talk about today.
Cauliflower is my favorite versatile vegetable because you can do so much with cauliflower.
You can throw it in the garbage.
You can. You could.
Or you could eat it.
I'm just throwing
some options out there.
I like that too. Glenn and I actually recently just shared a cauliflower
crust
pizza.
So
recently.
There's still little bits of it on my teeth.
I'm garlicky
and
farty.
Free.
How are you?
About the same.
Yeah.
This is very good. You can squish it up and turn it into pizza crust somehow. How do they do it? I don't know. I'm not a cauliflower scientist.
Glad they do it, though.
You can roast it and then make little buffalo wings out of it. I've done that a bunch. That's pretty good.
You could chop it up as part of your platter of crudité. And
sometimes people squish it up and turn it into like rice.
I
don't know. You could just make rice.
Yeah,
that one seems unnecessary.
And you're not fooling anybody, right? Like, it's just, like, texturally, it's not even close because it's, like crunchy even when it's soft.
If you're my mom, you could just really boil the hell out of it and then make...
people eat it.
You just melt down American cheese and put that on top.
Well, I mean, that actually doesn't sound so bad.
I didn't like that as a kid.
What about now?
Now?
Yeah.
Still, probably, I would not like squishy boiled cauliflower with melted American cheese on it.
I don't know. I'm not doing much later. You want to give it a shot?
I mean, I think we ate it up all the cauliflower that I would like to eat today. But
okay, well, you know, I'll take a rain check. Cauliflower.
Cauliflower. It's like
broccoli, but thicker. It's thick broccoli.
Broccoli thick.
It's a great ad.
Yeah. So remove a lot of units on that one.
All right, we're back. From what I'm told is a legendary promotional spot.
Probably one of the best.
Hey, Glenn, I'm really excited to read this page to you.
Why?
I'm just going to dive in if you don't mind.
Jump in there because I don't even remember what we're talking about.
The Smurfs.
All right.
is a Belgian comic franchise centered on a fictional colony of small blue human-like creatures that live in mushroom-shaped houses in the forest.
I might object to the term human-like.
Okay, well, I mean, you could have just reveled in the fact that you pulled Belgium out of thin air.
Well, I reached my arms up in the air in celebration, but it's an audio medium, so people didn't see that. But I was very excited that I got Belgium right.
The Smurfs was first created and introduced as a series of comic characters by the Belgian comics artist Peyo, P-E-Y-O. It's the pen name of Pierre Culliford in...
Belgium.
1959. Come on. Really? We talked about this before the break. How many times? It's not funny.
It's not that funny. That's the thing. Is it's always funny.
Because it the numbers.
Because of how much you hate it.
I don't hate it. It's just like, I don't know. Like, it is kind of fun to think of, like, the numbers, right? The actual numbers themselves, like, licking each other's genitals. Like, that's...
Yeah.
That's funny.
Like 7, 8, 9, but sexier.
Yeah, 7, 8, 9, if you know what I mean.
6, 8, 9's ass.
A. I thought you were a family-friendly comedian. 1958. Peyo invented and introduced them in 1958. They were known as Les Schrumpfs.
It's a shame that that name didn't stick.
Yeah.
Because then we use that.
Les Schrumpfs.
Your Schrumpf.
There are more than 100 Smurf characters, and their names are based on adjectives that emphasize their characteristics,
such as
Jokey Smurf.
How did I forget Jokey Smurf?
You are Jokey Smurf.
I am Jokey Smurf.
You son of a bitch.
Maybe because all of Jokey Smurf's jokes sucked.
Yeah. Jokey Smurf likes to play practical jokes
on his
fellow Smurfs.
Like throws pies at people. He's not really... We don't do the same thing, me and Jokey.
Smurfette was the first female Smurf to be introduced in the series. That's just a sentence that's there. No transition, just it's there. The Smurfs wear Phrygian caps, which came to represent freedom during the modern era.
Okay.
The word Smurf is the original Dutch translation for the French Schrumpf, which according to Peyo...
What does Schrumpf mean?
...is a word he invented during a meal...
translate
with fellow cartoonist André Francois when he could not remember the word for salt. This page is amazing.
What?
Yeah, Peyo, the Dutch cartoonist, you know, Peyo couldn't remember how to say salt in
this
French.
This cauliflower is a little bland. It could use some, oh God, I can't remember. The thing, it comes in like a little shaker.
Shrumpf.
Let me get some of that shrumpf.
The Smurfs franchise began as a comic and expanded into advertising, films, TV, ice capades, video games, theme parks, and dolls. That's the end of the opening paragraph. Dude, we are punch for punch, line for line, other than not knowing that anecdote about shrimp.
Yeah, we didn't know shrimp, and also we know the word for salt. So other than those two differences.
Also, not, you know, we did a much better 69 joke. There's not even a 69 joke here.
That's because that's not when they were. Why would there be?
Shut up.
That's not when they came out.
Origin. At the time he came up with the idea for Smurfs, Peyo was the creator, artist, and writer of the Franco-Belgian comic series titled Johan et Pirelu.
It was set
in Europe during the Middle Ages and included elements of sword and sorcery. That's a link, as if that's a famous genre.
Yeah.
I've never heard of sword and sorcery before, but yeah, I get it. It's a good adjective,
It's a great descriptor of the genre because it pretty much does what it says on
the
tin.
Yeah, no, it's pretty great. Johan serves as a brave young page to the king, and Pirelu functions as his faithful, if boasting and cheating, midget sidekick.
Are those the...
Woof, that's what it says.
Did they come back? I think in the later ones, I talked about how, like, the Smurfs, there were other human characters.
I think it might be them.
I think the little blonde boy who helps the Smurfs might be named Johan.
It's possible.
Little crossover event.
Okay, so in 1958, Spirou magazine started to publish Johan et Pirelu's story, La Flûte et Six Toits. The flute with six holes. Oh, this page might kill you. You might not make it to the end of this page, Glenn.
That's not enough. The thing is, though, that's not enough holes for a flute.
It's not.
Because you got to think, there's at least two.
Yeah.
right? One that you're blowing in and one the air comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Four other holes? That's going to give you a really limited range.
I mean, I don't know what to
musically.
Tell you.
Get some more holes in that flute.
Well, the good
Johan.
News. The good news.
You little idiot.
The good news is they explain the story. Are you ready?
Johan sucks at the flute for one. That's the first.
The adventure involved them recovering a magic flute, which required some sorcery by the wizard Homnibus. In this manner, they met a tiny blue-skinned humanoid in white clothing called a Shrumpf. Followed by his numerous peers who looked just like him, with an elderly leader who wore a red clothing and had a white beard.
Yeah, it's Papa Smurf. Mm-hmm. His hat's red, everybody else's is white.
Their first full appearance was published in Spirou on October 23rd, 1958. The characters proved to be a huge success, and the first independent...
people love them Shrumpfs.
The first independent Smurf stories appeared in Spirou in 1959, together with the first merchandising. The Smurfs shared more adventures with Johan and Pirlu, got their own series, and subsequent publications of the original story were retitled La Flûte à Six Schrumpf. So, the flute with six Smurfs?
So the part of the holes.
They
was
made a movie.
They
made a movie version of this story. I don't want to click. I want to click the link, but we don't have time. The commercial success of the Smurfs came from the merchandising empire of miniatures, models, games, and toys.
Yeah,
like,
those little figures that,
like your boy Glenn told you about. Entire collecting clubs have devoted themselves to collecting PVC Smurfs and Smurf merchandise. All right, name. Schrumpf. Is pronounced like the German word Strumpf.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Meaning sock. However, according to Peyo, the original author of the Smurfs comic strip, the term and the accompanying language of Smurfs came during a meal he had with his colleague and friend, André Francois, at the Belgian coast, having momentarily forgotten the word salt.
We've all been there. It's hilarious, but don't act like you've never forgotten a very simple word and then just yelled shrumpf at somebody.
Peyo asked him in French to pass the shrumpf. Francois jokingly replied, "Here's the shrumpf. When you are done shrumpfing, shrumpf it back." And the two spent the rest of the weekend speaking in shrumpf language.
Yeah, see, that sounds real fun. These guys sound great.
Yeah. The name was later translated into Dutch as Smurf, which was adopted.
But again,
into
you
English.
Can't translate nonsense.
Yeah, you can't. It's impossible. Both the comics and the cartoons have been translated into many languages. In most cases, the original name Schrumpf is replaced by a new term. The most common variations on the Dutch Smurf. It's not Dutch. It's
right,
nonsense.
It's all nonsense. None of it means anything.
Other names.
The Portuguese word for Schrumpf. It doesn't matter. It's all made up.
Other names are indicative of their gnome-like appearance. In Spanish, they are called Pitufus. Pitufuos? Pitufus? I don't know. Invented by Miguel Agusti, who was head of the Spanish magazine Strong, which first published the cartoon in Spanish. According to Agusti, he was walking around Barcelona while trying to come up with a name for the cartoon. He came across a sculpture of the ox Palifu. Who cares? I don't care about the... Shut up.
Is it that you don't care about it, or is it that you're bad at pronouncing?
Both.
Okay.
You can be two things. All right, there's a category called Smurf Universe. These storylines tend to be simple tales of bold adventure. The cast has a simple structure as well. Almost all the characters look essentially alike, mostly male. A few Smurfs that are female have appeared, including Smurfette.
There's Smurfette, and then they're like the two babies. One was a boy.
Sassette and Nanny Smurf. They're all short, parentheses, three apples high, with blue skin, white trousers with a hole for their short tails, a white hat in the style of a Phrygian.
And their legs.
Well, yeah, there are three holes. I mean, they're not good with counting holes and things. I think we've established that.
And also their body. There's that SNL video about clothes being holes that when I watched it, I was like, this is incredibly stupid. But I have thought about it probably twice a week since that premiere.
They love to eat sarsaparilla leaves.
Sure. Those are tasty leaves.
And their berries, naturally, they call them Smurf berries. So sarsaparilla berries are actually
okay.
Smurf berries.
I know that.
Smurf berries only appear in the cartoon. The original comics, the Smurfs only ate the leaves of the sarsaparilla plant.
So I don't know that I've ever seen berries on a sarsaparilla plant.
I don't know that I've ever seen a sarsaparilla plant.
Yeah, you know what? I was thinking of a different plant. What's the one where there's three different kinds of leaves on it?
What?
Sassafras.
The Smurfs fulfill simple archetypes of everyday people. Lazy Shrumpf, Grouchy Shrumpf, Brainy Shrumpf, and on. All Shrumpfs with
Who's your favorite Shrumpf?
Me?
Yeah.
Linguini Shrumpf. You know, the pasta maker of the town.
That's not a real Shrumpf.
Should be.
I mean, they got... You're going to make pasta out of sarsaparilla leaves?
Sure, why not? We just ate a pizza with a cauliflower crust.
Fair point. I guess anything is possible in the world of the Shrumpfs.
All right.
Brainy Shrumpf was not that you were going to ask me, but Brainy Shrumpf was my favorite.
There were originally 99 Smurfs, but this number.
And then they realized they got to round that shit out. You can't have 99 of something.
No.
Except for problems.
Language. A characteristic of the Smurf language is the frequent use of the undefinable word Smurf.
But why did they round it up? You didn't finish.
Oh, because they just wanted more characters. And so they're well over 100 now.
200 even.
So, the Smurfs frequently replace both nouns and verbs in everyday speech with the word Smurf. We're going smurfing on the river Smurf today. When used as a verb, the word Smurf typically means to make, to be, to like, or to do.
Yeah, but it means whatever it is.
Right.
Like, that's a dumb sentence, Wikipedia.
I'm just reading. Humans have found that replacing ordinary words with the term Smurf at random is not enough. In one adventure, Peewit, I don't know who Peewit is. We've not talked about Peewit anywhere before on this page, but Peewit explains to some other humans that the statement, I'm smurfing to smurf, means I'm going to the wood. But a smurf corrects him by saying the proper statement would be, I'm smurfing to the smurf, whereas what Peewit said was, I'm warbling to the dawn.
Peewit,
so I'm smurfing to the smurf is not the same as I'm smurfing to the smurf.
Yeah, context is important.
Context
in
is
any
important.
Language,
sure.
Right? Like, if you are carrying, like, a raft and a oar...
I'm really excited for you to follow through on this
And
one.
You run into one of your shrimp friends, and they're like, what's up, shrimp? What you doing? You'd be like, oh, me? Shrumping down the shrimp.
With my shrimp.
And then be like, oh, well, you're clearly carrying a raft and an oar. You're clearly going to paddle down a river. Like, they would understand.
Right. I don't like it when you make sense. I was rooting for you to fail.
I feel like
sorry.
Phones wouldn't be popular in Smurfs.
Yeah, or particularly effective.
Right. It wouldn't make sense over the phone a lot of the time.
All right. Well, I'm going to skip to a little bit farther down because this is a surprisingly long page. But, I mean, when you forget the word salt and create a whole whimsical universe.
Yeah,
like,
you're
going to
have a lot of
details
to
play. You got to have it. Smurf Village. When they appeared in 1958, the Smurfs lived in a part of the world called Le Pays Maudit, French for the Cursed Land.
Ooh.
To reach, it required magic or traveling through dense forests, deep marshes, a scorching desert, and a high-top mountain range.
That's a lot of things.
First, I traveled through the candy cane forests. Little elf joke. The Smurfs themselves use storks in order to travel long distances, such as to the kingdom where Johan and Pirlu live, and to keep up to date with events in the outside world.
Yeah, well, you got to stay current.
Yeah, I mean, I don't ever remember seeing a Smurf newspaper. The Daily Smurf? The Smurfy Smurf?
Isn't there, like, a journalism Smurf?
Fake news Smurf?
Isn't there one?
Topical.
Or is it the... Builder Smurf guy. He's got like a pencil behind his ear.
Builder Smurf.
That's who I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
They got to get the news out somehow.
Ooh,
it's probably
hold on,
super
hold on.
Easy.
I got a couple sentences that are important to read. Because this heading is called Smurf Economy. The Smurfs community generally takes the form of a cooperative, sharing, and kind environment based on the principle that each Smurf has something he or she is good at and thus contributes it to Smurf society as he or she can. In return, each Smurf appears to be given the necessities of life, from housing and clothes to food, without any money in exchange. End of section.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing any Smurfs buying anything at any point.
Yeah, imagine trying to make change.
Yeah,
your
I mean,
total is Smurfy. Can I have that all in Smurfs, please?
I mean, y'all live in Smurfs. Mushrooms. Like, how hard is it to just grow a mushroom? I don't know.
There's a couple sentences on characters, which basically references what we talked about before, how the naming convention is like Disney's Seven Dwarfs. Yeah, Gargamel's cat is in fact Azrael. So good job there. Yeah. There are 105 total Smurfs, according to that section, though it is not actually named to prove it.
Yeah, I'm going to need to see a list there, Wikipedia. What are you even for, if not lists of names of Smurfs?
It's true. So there's another media section which kind of devolves into like one of those list kind of things where we it's just unfair for us
it's
to
just madness.
It's just madness. Other motion pictures and then just a list, television series, and then just a whole bunch of like producers and nonsense there. DVD releases, crossovers, merchandising, you know, music recordings. Like this is just...
What? Did the Smurfs cut an album?
Let's find out. Over the decades, many singles and albums of Smurf music have been released in different countries and languages, sometimes very successfully, with millions of copies sold. The best known is the single The Smurf Song and its accompanying album created by Dutch musician Pierre Cantor, who sings under the alias Father Abraham, which reached the number one position in 16 countries. Worldwide, more than 10 million CDs with Smurf music have been sold between 2005 and 2007 alone.
That's... So many and not that long. I thought you were going to say like...
All time.
All time forever.
No, that's just a two-year window.
In 2 years. And not...
Recently.
Pretty recent years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's remarkable. Is this one of those things where like Americans are aware of it, but it's huge in other countries?
Well, like, let me offer you another sentence.
Are Smurfs the soccer of comic book characters?
In 1989, IMPS and R-Trek Music International created Smurfin, the 10th anniversary commemorative album, released by Quality Special Products in Canada and the U.S. and Dino Music in Australia. It was also released in parts of Europe. The album came out on LP, CD, and cassette and featured 20 tracks. The songs were covers of popular songs like Surfin' USA,
Smurfin',
Kokomo,
Smurfin' USA,
The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
The Lion Smurfs Tonight?
And I Think We're Alone Now.
I Smurf or a Smurf Smurf.
As well as two original songs that you better believe your boy's going to look up when we're done recording this. Then there's a couple sentences on Smurfs on Ice. they're apparently... The Smurfs began appearing in North American theme parks, you know, as like costumed characters.
Yeah, like Dorney as Charlie Brown and the gang.
There's a
Six Flags as
surprisingly
the Warner Brothers cartoons.
Long list of Smurf video games.
Yeah, I remember a couple of Smurf
going
games.
All the way back to 1982 and as recent as 2013.
Was that a movie tie-in for 2013?
The Smurfs and Company Spellbound. I don't think so.
No, it doesn't sound like it's got anything to do with Neil Patrick Harris.
No.
Unless he's part of the company.
So there's a couple other things here, but the thing that I'll close with right before the reference section is sociological discussion.
Okay.
In 1998, writer Mark Schmidt wrote a parody article citing the Smurfs as an example of the impact of socialism in continental European culture.
The impact of, look how happy they all are.
Right? In 2011, Schmidt's essay was scrutinized in a response by Kate Crack, who examined the nature of cultural theory built on textual observation and warned against creating false allegories out of texts like the Smurfs. I really do feel like calling texts, the Smurfs a text feels like, I don't know, Kate Crack, you don't sound very fun. French sociologist,
you got it.
Anton Bueno described the Smurfs in a 2011 book as a totalitarian and racist utopia. Studio Peyo head Thierry Culliford, son of Peyo, dismissed Bueno's accusations as grotesque and frivolous.
Yeah, I would categorize them as the same.
So that's it. That's the end of the article. I'm just glancing at the references, and something caught my eye. There's an article from June 14th, 2015, and the headline is Demi Lovato, Rainn Wilson, Mandy Patinkin join Get Smurfy voice cast. Just glad that good people are getting good work.
Is that the sequel?
I don't know. I'm not going to click. I don't care.
I think the first one was just the Smurfs.
There's also an article in here from March of 2010, and the title from the Los Angeles Times is Quentin Tarantino as Brainy Smurf, Think Again.
Yuck.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about that once.
Yeah, you'd have all those Smurf feet close-ups.
Yeah, just as feety Smurf, definitely.
Oof. That's it. That's the end of the page. And quite frankly, I don't know what to think because I just had a real good time today.
That was probably the most fun reading a Wikipedia page we've had.
No doubt. And honestly, I'm never going to forget that the Smurfs got their name because some Belgian forgot the French word for salt.
Roomph.
So fun. I don't know. If we go back to the title, like not the title, the intro paragraph kind of thing, like, I don't know, man, you nailed it. You really did hit all of that. And other than not knowing Peo's name and the salt story.
We didn't know. I mean, I feel like the salt story is so crucial to everything here. I think we could get away with a tie here.
I don't feel like I lost. That's what I'm saying. But like, you're right. That salt story is just...
It's beautiful.
Oh, my God. Like, that's going to be, like, my go-to nonsense fact when people are like, what's something dumb that you know that no one else does? It's going to be that.
It's going to be that the name for Smurfs was translated from Shrumpf, the word for not remembering the word for salt.
I don't know. Tie?
I'll take a tie.
Let's take
sure.
a tie. So we're just tied again. We're still
tying it up. Those Smurfs.
18 to 18 to question mark. I don't know how many times.
However many.
Tied.
Who cares? Not me.
That's good. I loved it. Kat Aldrich, thank you for the Smurf suggestion.
Yeah, that was a very fun one.
Oh my God, so much fun. What's a fake fact you would leave on this page if you were going to deface it with nonsense?
Whew. I mean, it's hard to not do a joke about Smurfing meaning fucking.
It's pretty easy to not do it. You just don't do it.
The problem is, I really want to though.
Another one that could potentially get in your way. Gargamel is named for the mispronunciation of the French word for pepper.
Sure, I'll take it. Poivre, I believe, is the French word for pepper.
I don't care.
But I also might be completely wrong. I was not good at French in high school, but I think that's what it is.
Well, that's it. It's the end of the episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you love us and you had fun, swing by our Apple Podcasts page. Give us a 5-star rating.
And if you don't,
a review.
Go shroom for yourself.
Bye.
Shroom.